Well, there's a couple of obvious themes. Okay, I shouldn't say obvious. There's a couple of themes this Sunday that I thought were really came from the texts without any sort of thought or deep thought needed. And the thing that came to me came out of Jonah as much as anything. And the story of Jonah is a very interesting one, and I quite appreciated the video version of it. Jonah is probably the least attractive hero in the Bible. Not because of what he looked like, because of course we don't know what he looked like, but because of his behavior. And where our reading picks up this Sunday is the second time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, because the first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he ignored it and in fact ran away. And the question that sort of came to my mind first of all is that why did Jonah run? What was behind that? And that's where the sermon title came from, Why Bother? Because I'm pretty sure that was what was going on behind Jonah's subsequent behavior, is why bother? Why bother going to Nineveh, going to Assyria, to this terrible people who had oppressed everyone, who had caused destruction beyond measure everywhere they went, or at least so it seemed? Why go to them? And it's not just that Jonah disliked them. I think at some point, at some part of Jonah's mind, he was thinking, why bother? Because what's the point? Why would these people listen to him or anyone? And we can ask the same question of ourselves. Why bother to convince anyone of anything? People don't change their minds because they hear a superior argument, at least not very often. These days, we have fake news and conspiracy theories everywhere. And maybe you've tried to convince someone that COVID-19 is real, that masks reduce the spread of potentially infectious aerosols, whether we're in a pandemic or not. Maybe you've been one of those people who's tried to convince someone that the world is a globe and not a plate. Whatever it might be, I think what you have probably discovered is that it's not easy to convince people to change their minds. And it isn't always easy, because we tend not to go to information to make up our mind, but we make up our mind and then we go find the information that we want to support our decision. It's called confirmation bias, and it's part of being human. We're just stuck with it. The fact that we know about it and can rise above it notwithstanding, our default position is, this is what I know, and I don't care what you say. It's maybe a tough thing to realize about ourselves, but we need to pay attention to that we don't like changing our minds. We don't like admitting that we were wrong. And so our understanding of ourselves makes it much easier for us to move into the whole question of why bother? Why go to a terrible place like Nineveh to tell people things that they're not going to listen to because they don't want to hear it? And the reputation they have suggests that they might take their irritation about what they're hearing out on me. The fact that Jonah is, as I said, one of the less attractive heroes of the Bible doesn't mean he isn't essentially human. I understand Jonah's thinking very well. And I suspect at least some of you may also. There have been times in my life when I have known things that I could say or should say, and I haven't, because I thought, what's the point? Why bother? So why bother? Because sometimes it does work. In Mark, our Mark reading, we see John has been arrested. Jesus comes to Galilee, so people at least have some idea of what's going on there, proclaiming the good news of God. And as he wanders by the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon and his brother Andrew and says, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. Why bother? Why did he call out to these people? And why did they come? Why did Simon and Andrew, and then later on the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, James and John, why did they come? Well, they came because somebody asked them. Because that's the flip side of why do we bother? Because people won't change their minds. People won't follow us. People won't hear what we're saying if we don't say anything. It doesn't guarantee that people will hear us. But if we don't say anything, then how can they ignore us? And how can they respond? Wayne Gretzky famously said, "You miss every shot you don't take." And it's something that we should pay attention to. Because just because someone looks resistant, just because something looks hard, it doesn't mean that it's not going to work. I am tremendously grateful that people continued to bother with me. And they did. I had all kinds of people who continued to take the time to speak to me and to really to live lives in front of me that made what they said make sense. It's said often that people would rather see a sermon than hear one. And I think the two go hand in hand. There are some things that we can observe, and there are some things that we can only learn by hearing someone explain them to them or to us or speak about them. But there were people in my life who continued to bother, who continued to greet this sullen youth who showed up to church, nobody knew why, but they still said hello. They were pleasant, whether I was or not. And maybe they were doing it primarily out of respect for my parents. It doesn't matter to me. They continued to bother. They continued to take that time. And I honestly don't know where I would have ended up if people wouldn't have. Jonah discovered the same thing. Jonah knew in the deepest core of his being that God's power could be exhibited in such a way that the people of Nineveh would respond. And he hated it because he hated the people of Nineveh. He hated the Assyrians. He didn't want to bother because at some level he was afraid they'd listen and respond. And at a different level, he knew they wouldn't because they never had. They were just a people who were steeped in evil and had been terrible for as long as anyone could remember. So why did Jonah bother? Well, Jonah bothered because it was pointed out to him that this was his role. That as a prophet, this was something he was called to. It was difficult. It was unpleasant, even before he got swallowed by a fish. Because all that he was worried about, I'm sure, ate away at him. And being a prophet, I can't imagine a more difficult job, at least at times. And so Jonah was stuck with going to a place he didn't want to speak to a group of people he didn't like about a judgment that he was afraid wouldn't happen because he was afraid they would listen and respond. You can see that if you continue to read the rest of the book of Jonah, which is quite short. You can read it in just a few minutes. And you'll see that Jonah was right. Jonah went and preached to them. And they listened and they changed. I sometimes wonder if he said anything more than 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I suspect he did. But God can use the simplest of messages to get through to the people that God is calling towards God. And maybe that is all Jonah needed to say, because then they heard and listened. And they heard and listened because Jonah went and spoke. Jonah bothered, even though he didn't want to. So why would we bother? I don't know who's in your life that needs to hear or see the reality of God within you. Maybe you don't even know someone in particular. Maybe you haven't had a call to go to your own Ninevites, probably not as bad as the people of Nineveh, but your own call to talk to people that maybe you don't want to, or maybe you're not sure how. And maybe you've talked to them in the past about things that are important to you. You've talked to them about things of God and ethics and morality and a better way to live life than perhaps they're doing now. And when you've brought this up before, it hasn't gone well. But if you're feeling that tug, if you're feeling that sense that the Holy Spirit is giving you a bit of a nudge to try it again, please do. For some of the people who bothered with me, it was years before they saw any fruit to their bothering. And I don't think it was a great deal of work for them, because mostly it was simply a matter of being pleasant to me, of being accepting to me, of allowing me and all of my whatever to come to church, to sing in the choir, to be part of a community that I didn't seem to understand or believe. But their acceptance of me spoke to me at a deep, deep level, much deeper than any sermon I'd ever heard. And that acceptance is part of what wore away that part of me that was so resistant to good and to grace. God used these people who bothered by saying hello, by asking me how I was, by listening to what I thought was important. And it made a difference. I don't have any vision. I'm not a prophet, so I don't have any vision for you in general or in particular that says the next time you talk to this person or these people, if you have them in your life, that it will work in a way as dramatic as it did in Nineveh. But what I do have is a deep and abiding belief in God's faithfulness to his people, like you and me, and to all people, like those people that maybe you need to talk to. Maybe they're relatives, maybe they're friends, maybe they're acquaintances, whatever they are. I ask that you will listen for the nudge of the Spirit to say, try it again. Bother one more time, because they're worth it. As you go into this week, another week of isolation, another week of how do we interact with anybody, even if we are being nudged, how do we do anything with it? Well, I don't have any answers for that. What I do have is the encouragement for you and for me that God will open the doors when it's time for them to be opened, and that opportunities to speak to these people, to bother on their behalf, will present themselves. And if we're faithful, what we do will be of value. Will we see the outcome? Maybe, maybe not. But we'll be doing what God has called us to do. And what could be better than that? Amen.